Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will probably go to the phone lines a little later on. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can also contact us and receive our resources through the web at equip.org, or you can write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I do want to spend a few moments today talking about the issue of abortion. Sometimes we have abortion fatigue. In other words, we've heard this topic discussed so many times that we fail to recognize its significance for our civilization. And sometimes we even fail to recognize that clever code words are the opium of the pro-abortion lobby, that they are specifically designed to dull human sensibilities to the horror of killing an innocent preborn child. In fact, the moniker Planned Parenthood might well be the quintessential example of a clever code word. The positive ring masks the horrific reality that to abort a preborn child, well, is to terminate a life. Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger famously pontificated that the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it. And such killings are now positively repositioned as pro-choice prerogatives. The preborn children terminated, well, they're indelicately rendered fetuses. And pro-life advocates are profanely recast as social extremists. Well, Planned Parenthood has released its plan for 2019, and it is to spend multiplied millions of taxpayer dollars to elect pro-abortion lawmakers, to ensure as well that pro-life advocates are relegated to insignificance. This has been a windfall year for Planned Parenthood in terms of profits. And of course, the $1 billion subsidy from taxpayers like you and I. Their publicity arm now includes, unfortunately, evangelical clergy. I think, for example, of the evangelical Lutheran pastor Paul Eldred, who said this: the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that Mary consented to becoming the mother of Jesus. And if God gave Mary that option, why wouldn't we think that all women should have the choice to become a mother or not to become a mother? So here's the argument from this evangelical Lutheran pastor, who isn't evangelical at all. The argument is because the incarnation provided the free response of Mary, Mary would likewise have had the option to abort her baby. I mean, the logic is so convoluted, it is hard to wrap your mind around it. And this from a pastor. And by the way, he has another argument. His second argument comes from the creation story in Genesis chapter 1. And it reveals what he calls is a biblical argument for access to abortion. In his words, we are told that God created humanity in God's own image. And we believe this makes every human body holy and that every body bears the divine image. And this certainly includes the full expression of women's bodies, including trans, non-binary, etc. So essentially what the pastor is saying is that because we are made in the image of God, we have the divine prerogative to do whatever we want with our bodies, that irrespective of the impact that it has on others also created in the Imago Dei. And ironically, the very passage that the pastor is quoting dispenses with the non-binary philosophy he espouses. In fact, Jesus appeals to Genesis. Remember those immortal words, "Haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" The logical conclusion, according to Elred, is sex can be non-binary. But according to Elohim, according to God, it cannot. And the beat goes on. I think now of Anna Ernst, another evangelical Lutheran pastor in Elmhurst, Illinois, who believes it is time for religious leaders, for people of faith to speak up in defense of abortion rights. And quite frankly, she says, "I am concerned for the rights of all women. We cannot go back to clothes hangers and knitting needles. This is not life-giving, and I believe that is not what God wants." Now, first of all, you can imagine the dexterity it would take to dislodge a conceptus from a uterine wall with a knitting needle, but we'll leave that aside. What's really going on here is this pastor is saying she's concerned with the rights of all women, unless, of course, the female is as yet unborn. And then there's Ashley Underwood. She's from Ohio. And she had an abortion 2 years ago and believes that the experience brought her closer to her faith. Says Ashley, "I did a lot of praying. And on that day, I went in for my procedure. My daily Bible verse was Jeremiah 29:11. And then she quotes the verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And says Ashley, "It really helped me confirm that I was making the right decision by having an abortion. Having an abortion made me a lot more mature, and I felt so much closer to my faith." Talk about calling black, white, and white, black, good, evil, and evil, good. Here's a classic case of taking a text out of context and using it as a pretext. This very verse happens to be given in the context of Jeremiah's denunciation of Hananiah, who was seeking to persuade the nation of Judah to trust in lies. Hananiah was telling the people that their wickedness would not become their destruction. On the other hand, Jeremiah, as a true prophet of God, was telling the nation that if they turned from their wicked ways, God would prosper them and give them hope in a future. But of one thing, Jeremiah was absolutely certain. If the nation perpetuated its child sacrifice practices, they would inexorably experience judgment. Many other examples could be given, including Dr. Ben Brown, who said, having abortion care is part of how I live my faith. I am an abortion provider because I am a Christian. In this milieu, it is ever more necessary for believers to stand up for truth, to make their lives, to make this moment count. If abortion doctors are willing to do for a lie what this doctor is willing to do, Christians ought to be willing to do for the truth what all of us have been commanded to do. Coming to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Thank you. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to get back to the abortion issue in a moment, but first I want to give you the quote of the day, which comes from Kimberly Ross. She's a conservative writer with a passion for the pro-life cause. Her article caught my attention today. And one of the things she said I thought was eminently quotable, and I thought, let's make this the quote of the day. You'll understand in a moment. She says, "The most amazing show of patriarchal domination is when a male pretends to be a female and bests actually biological women at their own sport. The same women complaining that there is not equal gender representation among CEOs in the business world say nothing about this hijack, and in many cases altogether praise it." Well, Kimberly is saying this with respect to an article, a news report that came out recently. Just this Sunday, you have a biological male who identifies as a transgender woman, who wins a women's world championship cycling event. The woman named Rachel McKinnon is a professor at the College of Charleston, and she won the women's UCI Masters Track Cycling World Championships in Los Angeles, California. And she's quite articulate as a professor and says that focusing on performance advantage is largely irrelevant because this is a rights issue. We shouldn't be worried about trans people taking over the Olympics. We should be worried about their fairness and human rights instead. So here, again, you have political correctness gone haywire. It is absolutely incredible to think that we are living in an epic in time in which we will soon see men competing against women for millions and millions of dollars. Imagine, for example, a journeyman on the PGA Tour deciding he can't make it there and playing the LPGA Tour. Make a lot of money, but is this really fairness? Does this even square with reality? Of course it doesn't. I'm thinking back to one of the arguments that are commonly made by pro-abortionist people who say that there is an inequality argument here that all of us should consider when we talk about abortion. And that inequality argument posits that a woman forced to carry her baby to full term could not compete equally with a male counterpart in the workplace, and thus must be provided the latitude to abort her preborn child. Now, obviously, if you carry something like this to its logical conclusion, the inequality argument would apply to abandonment just the same. But imagine the absurdity of arguing that in order for a woman to compete on an equal basis with a man, she should be afforded the opportunity not only to abort a preborn, but to abandon a preschooler. The arguments keep coming. Tolerance is another one. This is no doubt the first and greatest commandment of the pro-abortion lobby. Its essence is forever memorialized in the oft-repeated refrain, "Don't like an abortion? Well, don't have one. Just don't impose your antiquated morality on me." Well, at first blush, the mantra sounds eminently tolerant, but we have to consider some of these canards for a moment. Because if you do, you immediately see its flaws. Imagine, for example, that someone, in the interest of tolerance, applied the same reasoning to rape. Don't like rape? Don't rape anyone. Just don't impose your morality on me. We do well to remember, and I've said this many times on the broadcast, tolerance with respect to personal relationships is a virtue. But tolerance with respect to truth is a travesty. And by the way, that goes for the whole trans movement. Why are we tolerating a man competing with women and then saying that this is in the interest of fairness? This is like calling a circle a square. It's absurd and should not be tolerated. And the reason it is tolerated is because the voices of this politically correct generation are drowning out the voices of sanity. In fact, many Christians are just not speaking up, certainly not in the political arena, where if you do speak up, the fear is that you won't be elected. But imagine that you trusted that God Himself is in control, and that irregardless of what is correct politically, what is correct biblically has to be your standard. What if we thought that we could leave justice in the hands of God to do right, to hate evil? If we did, we'd be speaking out against voices like Whoopi Goldberg. She's another pro-abortion advocate. And she's got all her arguments. Well, she thinks she has them down straight. So she employed the abortion argument in the sense of adoption. You might call it the adoption argument. She suggested that abortion rights advocates would take pro-lifers more seriously if they were willing to adopt babies slated for abortion. Now, if you're not thinking clearly at first, you're listening to her on The View, and she's espousing this, and, well, the movement of the rhetoric continues on rapidly, you never really get to think about what she's really saying. But what is she really saying? The fallacy becomes obvious when it's put in different words. For example, if you won't adopt my babies, don't tell me I can't kill them. That's essentially what she's saying. It's ludicrous. It's revolting. And yet, in the irony of ironies, she is being applauded. The cheers are loud and boisterous for saying that which is ridiculous. I wanted to devote this broadcast to this important issue because I hope you're not experiencing abortion fatigue. When Francis Schaeffer presently said that abortion would be the watershed issue of our day, he was right. We saw this with Justice Kavanaugh. A lot of people, they had their eye on the wrong ball. The diversionary tactic worked. What was at the base of this entire issue was abortion. The painful killing of an innocent human being. That was at the base of it. And that's why I started out my discussion today by bringing up the huge windfall of profits that the Planned Parenthood organization has to disseminate its poison throughout our society. And of course, we're helping fund that with our taxpayer dollars. And the only way ultimately this will be changed is for people of faith to speak up cogently, clearly, with gentleness and with respect, but to make their voices heard. If we do not, we will stand before God and give an account for what we did while there's yet time. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, we usually take calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The quote of the day you'll find on the web at equip.org. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast you can find there as well. But I do thank everyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference, not only for time, but you are making a difference for all eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.